It's great to be worshiping together with you on this beautiful fall morning. We welcome any visitors with us today and hope that you will feel welcome. We have a parent-supervised nursery downstairs after the children's story, as well as the kids' activity bins and a quiet room at the back if you need this. Please take a look at the announcements in the bulletin. There's a lot of activities happening this week. I saw that the ladies were out there selling tickets for the Christmas bus tour. If you're interested in seeing the lights in Niagara Falls and going to Betty's restaurant, today is the last day to buy your tickets for that. Pastor Tim will be away on vacation for a week starting on November 23rd this week. So we pray that this will be a time of rest and renewal for them and that they'll have a good time as a family. So, and if there's any specific needs, please contact our Karen Connects and Hubert if you have any specific needs during that time. This Friday, our church is hosting an information session and Q&A where you can learn more about the Indigenous history of Niagara. A donation of dried goods and money will be accepted for the Niagara Region Native Center. And if you or someone you know is interested in reading scripture as part of the service 2 to 3 times per year, let Megan Vandenberg know. Her phone number or email address is in the bulletin, and she's right up here this morning. And finally, a light Advent lunch will be happening in 2 weeks, immediately after church. Join us as we kick off the Advent season with Christmas carols, games, and a shared meal together. More details can be found in the bulletin. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm 90, verses 1 to 8 and 12. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, you mortals." 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Let us pray together. Lord, as we begin our service this morning, we ask that you will still our hearts and calm our minds. We have all had different experiences this week, and we all come from different walks of life. Some have walked with you for many years, others are just starting their journey. Some are strong, others weak. Some are full of joy, and others are burdened. You know each of us by name and love us all equally. We thank you for your never-ending love and kindness. Be with us this morning as we open our hearts and minds to hear your amazing word. Amen. I invite the worship band to come forward and lead us in singing House of the Lord. Please stand if you're able.
Our first song this morning, House of the Lord, as Ingrid introduced, might be new to some of us, but for those of you who join us for VBS in the summer, some of our kids or volunteers you might remember.
Worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors, he parted the raging sea. My God, he holds the victory. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shall. shout your praise. We sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. He hung up on that cross, then he rose up from that grave. My God, still rolling stones away. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. Shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. Shout out your praise. Cause we were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. Cause we were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. Shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. Shout out your praise. Hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone. Darkness seems to hide His face. I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, in the Savior's blood, through the He shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne.
Please be seated. Now invite the children to please come forward for children's story.
Good morning. Oh, I have a bag full of things here today. A bag full of things. You know what? Pastor Tim is going to be preaching this morning on another section of the book of Nehemiah, right? And we've been kind of talking a little bit about how that might relate to our lives. And this next little section he's going to be sharing with us. The title is Back to the Bible. So, of course, I brought my Bible with me today. I brought it along, and you know, I love this book, and there's so many great things in here. Do you have a favorite story from the Bible that you can think of just off the top of your head? Do you know a story from the Bible? I'll take a. Evelyn? Oh, David and Goliath. That's a good one. That's a lot of action, right? Callan, did you have a different one? What's another one? Oh, one, come on, one more. I know. And kids, and this morning in Sunday school. I know it's hard when you're on the spot, right? I'm a big fan of the Easter story. Big fan of the Easter story. And I really love when Jesus is born, too, and we read that story on Christmas Eve. So many awesome stories in here. And, you know, the Bible, I'm going to say, is kind of like this package of, what's that? Hot chocolate, right? It's good. It's a good thing, right? And, you know, if I open up this package of Tim Hortons hot chocolate, nonetheless, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to put my little finger in there for a minute. It's okay. It's kind of okay. I'm not going to share it with you, but I'll tell you because that would be a little bit unsanitary. But it's a little bit sweet. It's kind of gritty. I don't know. It's like a powder, right? So it's kind of okay. You know, and this cup that I brought a clear one along. Let's say that this hot water is like our lives. And, you know, we kind of get into hot water now and then, but here we go. Here's our hot water, our lives, steaming hot, in fact. So with all of that hot water that we're in, and we've got the Bible over here, are we good to go? Is everything good? We got the Bible, we got our lives, or what do I need to do with this? What do I need to do? I need to pour it in, right? A little bit? Just a tiny little, I'll just put a couple. There we go. Hot chocolate, are we good? All of it? All of it in. All right, here we go. I will put all of it in. And you know what I'm going to do? Because I brought along, so I'm going to give it a good stir. Oh, how's that looking? Good. It needs marshmallows. I knew, Cal. Yeah, 110%. A good marshmallow. But you know what? That looks pretty delicious and awesome. And you know, it's exactly the same with the Bible. The Bible is good. And sitting here on the bench, it's good. And sitting on your shelf at home, it's good. But it's even better when we put it in our lives. It becomes great and awesome. And it changes us and makes us better. And there are lots of different ways to put the Bible into your life. And it can be hearing stories in kids club and in Sunday school. It can be reading Bible stories with your family. It can be listening in church on Sunday mornings, right? So all the different ways that we can put the Bible in our lives makes you like awesome hot chocolate. So let's all find ways to put the Bible into our lives this week, all right? Let's pray. God, thank you so much for all the words and stories in the Bible, and help us to spend time putting the Bible into our lives. Amen.
Did we just learn that the Holy Spirit is marshmallows? I think, yeah, you know, I would say at least half your hot chocolate should be melted down marshmallows. You're welcome when you try that in the future. Now's our time for announcements, for any praises or prayer requests you have to share. If you have anything you'd like to share, please raise your hand and we'll have a microphone make its way to you. Oh, Brian, good to see you again.
I am really good. I got a lovely card from the church last week. And on the front of it was a lighthouse. And it means a number of different things, of course. But as a lighthouse, it shines out and it draws you in. Well, a few of you folks had read the story in the paper, and it was very touching. That was what it was inside the card, and it mentioned, "We'll pray for you." You know what? You can feel the prayer. You feel the joy. That's how I feel about the family that we're here right now. So anyways, I'd like to thank you all, and it really was endearing. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Good to have you back with us, too.
I attended the MCC Peace Conference in Rockway yesterday. There were a lot of workshop options that we could attend. But being Peace Conference, I was waiting for Israel and Palestine to be mentioned during the opening session, and nothing was mentioned. I had to wait till the last half hour as we all gathered together back in the auditorium, and they mentioned peace in Israel and Palestine. They emphasized it by connecting with Seth and Sarah, who are our MCC reps over there, and Seth and Sarah encouraged us to continue praying for both countries. They love all the people there, and as you know, all the unrest, but MCC is partnering with many organizations that exist there on both sides, and they just really encourage us to keep praying and giving financially if we can do that. So I just want to bring that to your attention.
And Trudy, were they for or against peace? I wasn't quite sure with MCC.
No comment.
No comment. The difficulty as we pray and recognize that we long for a world where bombs are dropped on no one, where we see people's hearts turn away from the ways of violence, and we start to see the tools of violence get to be reshaped into the tools of cultivation and bringing new life. That is the hope that we see all through the Bible. That is the hope we continue to pray for the children, in particular, of Israel and Palestine, as they are subjected to this by people much older than they are, making all kinds of horrible decisions. We continue to look for peace, for a ceasefire all throughout our world. Note, sharing on behalf of Ron Weens, his wife Linda is in the hospital right now. Please pray for her. She is very sick. She is not taking visitors at this time. She's not well enough for that, but they appreciate our prayers. She is in town, and we will let you know if she is ready for visitors sometime later through the week. But please continue to keep her and Ron in your prayers. Well, friends, let's pray together. At the end of me just kind of leading us in prayer, I'll invite you to say the Lord's Prayer with me. We'll have that up on the screen. But you're welcome to do whatever version of that you are most comfortable with in whatever language speaks to your heart. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are good. We thank you that you are the good shepherd who draws near. The good shepherd who draws near even that one lamb that runs away. Lord, give us a heart after your heart. Help us, Lord, to never lose sight of that one that runs away in the midst of the 99. Help us, Lord, to know that you are the one who gives us good pastures, those peaceful waters, even in the midst of a very troubled world. We pray, Lord, that you would work through your people. All throughout the world, those of us who long to follow you and your narrow way, that your Holy Spirit would work in us to be peacemakers. That your Spirit would work in us to bring your love, your hope, your joy, and your new life into our communities and our neighborhoods. That you would move our feet and use our hands to answer the prayers of the needy, of the hopeless, of the lost, of those who just have no one to share anything with. Lord, in particular, the weight of war and violence is heavy. It feels heavy on our world and our news cycle. Lord, help us through all of this to never lose sight that each person is made in your image, that every child, every person is precious to you, and that you long for peace that brings us all into your new hope, your new life, that you long to free us away from the wars and the violence, but also to free us from relying on violence and to instead rely on your ways. Lord, help us, help our leaders to repent, to give up the sin of bombing humans, and instead to turn to your way of making peace in new ways. Be with those, Lord, who are sick, who are recovering, those who battle addiction. And as we think of sickness through our community, we are thankful, Lord, that you have brought Brian back to us, and we pray that you'd continue to fill him with your strength. Lord, also be with the Weens family and with Linda. Give the doctors wisdom while they care for her. And we pray, Lord, that in all these things we would be able to see your hope and your new life. Now, friends, I invite you to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, as on the screen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Good morning. My Bible reading this morning is found in Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 6 inclusive. That, for those of you who would like to follow, it's found on page 763. On the 24th day of the same month, the Israelites gathered together, fasting and wearing sackcloth and having dust on their heads. Those of Israelite descent had separated themselves from all foreigners. They stood in their places and confessed their sins and the wickedness of their fathers. They stood where they were and read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for a quarter of the day, and spent another quarter in confession and then worshiping the Lord our God. Standing on the stairs were the Levites, who called with loud voices to the Lord their God. And the Levites said, "Stand up and praise the Lord our God, who is from everlasting to everlasting. Blessed be your glorious name, and may it be exalted above all blessing and praise. You alone are the Lord. You made the heavens, even the highest heavens, and all their starry host, the earth and all that is in it, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to everything, and the multitudes of heaven worship you." Thus far the reading of the word.
See how my clicker does here. It is no longer working quite for me. I've been given the 1 minute stall signal, so how will we do with the stall? When I grew up, the church I went to, we used to always start everything late, and we called that Pineland time, because that was the church we were. Now, we sometimes start things on time here, but what would you think St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church time and all, I want to say 13 syllables that I just put out would be. Probably by the time we say things, we get stuck through there. What do you think, Dutch? How are we doing? 2 seconds. So my children have been teaching me knock-knock jokes. Knock-knock. Who? I'm sorry, are there a bunch of owls in this church? Thank you. So you may now be worried that I will leave this profession to be a stand-up comedian, but don't worry, that wasn't even my joke. Mine are even worse. Well, thank you. Well, because you know where I'm learning them, right, Vic? Oh, hey, can you guys see that too? This is magical. I can give a message without slides, but the slides help keep me slightly shorter. Hard to imagine sometimes. But I will note again that each time they come to reading the Bible in these passages, they're reading it for hours and hours and hours and having an explanation for hours and hours and hours. So if you would like me to preach shorter next week, well, I'm not here, but the week after, if you slip me a 20 ahead of time, I can start skimming a minute off the top. What do you get for 40? Get 2 minutes. Today we're talking about one of my favorite subjects, the Bible. Who knew at church talking about the Bible and going back to the Bible as we see in the book of Nehemiah, leading with a question, one that seems simple, but maybe is a little bit more difficult when we wrestle with it, which is, what is the Bible? And then maybe, what is the purpose of the Bible? What is it for? What does it do for us? So a little Bible background on Nehemiah just for one last time. This will be my last time going through Nehemiah this year. But don't worry, we'll do one more in Nehemiah in January for those of you who are worried that I won't get to the rest. We'll do one more message looking through it. But we look through the Bible, we see that God's chosen people, the descendants of Abraham, have now been delivered out of slavery with the purpose of being a light to the nations, to be a light of God's love to the nations. But the people continue to be unfaithful. And they end up in exile because of their sin. The Babylonian army comes and takes them away and burns down Jerusalem. But they continue to have this hope while they are in Babylon that they'll be able to return home. And that as returning home, they'll be able to be that light to the nations once again. As the Babylonian Empire is overtaken by the Persian Empire, we come to the book of Ezra, Nehemiah. Again, one book in the Hebrew Bible, but for us, we have it as two separate books. But it is one unfolding story. And in the year B.C. 445, we see Nehemiah show up. And Nehemiah is someone who grew up outside of Jerusalem. He's never been to Jerusalem in his entire life. But he is working for the king, and he has this hope that his home, this home he's never known, can be restored. So he prays, he plans, and then he acts, and then the king works to help rebuild the city, rebuild the walls so it can be a city again, and working to rebuild the people through this process. And that brings us to Nehemiah chapter 9 today. So again, we'll read through that slowly with some images here. On the 24th day of the same month, the Israelites gathered together. For those paying attention, this is only a couple days later from last week's message. Fasting and wearing sackcloth and putting dust on their heads. Those of Israelite descent had separated themselves from all foreigners. They stood in their places and confessed their sins and the sins of their ancestors. They stood where they were and read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for a quarter of the day and spent another quarter in confession and worshiping the Lord their God. And the Levites, these are the priestly leaders, said, "Stand up and praise the Lord your God who is from everlasting to everlasting. Blessed be your glorious name, and may it be exalted above all blessings and praise. You alone are the Lord. You made the heavens and even the highest heavens and all their starry host, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to everything, and the multitudes of heaven worship you. And that's where we'll stop in Nehemiah 9. So let's dig a little deeper into this passage. There's a couple things that are interesting. First, we see them separating themselves. They're separating themselves from foreigners. This is a common problem through Ezra and Nehemiah, trying to figure out who is in and who is out. And frequently, through Ezra and Nehemiah, we'll see people choose to be very exclusive in ways that the Bible doesn't call them to. But here, they're not separating themselves out of any negative reasons. They're separating themselves with purpose, because they are going to confess and be together talking about the sins of their people, of their ancestors, their communal sins. So they're separating themselves, saying that this is our problem, our fault. We're going to confess that. It doesn't include the others because you weren't part of this community. And then we see them go back to the Bible, this book of the law. That would be our Torah, our first five books. And as they go back to the Bible, it has these responses from the people. The first, which is something I think we're all a little uncomfortable with, is communal confession. They're not just confessing their own sins and the things they've done wrong. They're confessing the sins of the community, of the people who came before them, identifying themselves with the problems that happened long before they were alive but were a part of that community so that they can be part of the solution. And then we see them worship. And as we know, worship is something that starts to form us, what we value, what we honor. So the people are moved then to worship. And then it starts going through these Bible passages, letting us know who God is. And their response there, it makes sense if you've read Genesis. Who is God? God is this great, loving creator who made all things as above all things. Their time in the Bible reminds them who their God is, but also who they are in relation to their God. God, the one who went and redeemed and rescued them. They are the redeemed and rescued ones to go and rescue and help others. And this leads the people to repentance. Repentance is a word that we talk about with sin being bad, repentance being good. Repentance is when we turn around and go the opposite direction of the paths that lead us to death and destruction. And that's what we're seeing these people. And as they're moving towards repentance, towards living out to be the light to the nations, they gather together. And right at the end of the chapter, it says, in view of all this, we are making a binding agreement, putting it in writing, and our leaders, our Levites, and our priests are affixing their seals to it. So they have this time of repentance, and then they all sign a document promising that they're going to go and adhere to the way of the Bible that they've read. Adhere to these new rules. And just as we've talked about before, that they would be this just community, a community embodying God's justice, God's hope. It's repentance isn't just this idea that they've turned and we're not going to do those bad things. It's that we are going to move towards doing the good things. We are going to actively do the good things of God. But the trouble is, it doesn't last. So this is a bit of a spoiler alert if you keep going through. In fact, if Nehemiah had ended right after this time of everyone gathering together and celebrating, you'd be like, wow, what a great God, what a great people. I'm so glad that this all went through. There's all this hope there. But the author of Nehemiah, which I think is probably Nehemiah himself, wants to let us know that this doesn't last. The people will all fall away again. Things will all go into chaos. They will not honor their following the Bible and other stuff. Why is that? Well, it turns out that the Bible wasn't enough. Well, why? These are the people of the book. Why in the scriptures? Why isn't this enough? Well, it's because we need, as people, a savior. We don't just need a book. We need a savior. We need redemption. And the Bible is not the Savior. The Bible is something that can inspire these people, and it inspires them to do these good things, but it's not enough that it changes their hearts to become the people that God has called them to be. We see the Bible as something that points us the right way, but the trouble for us is that when we ask ourselves, what is the Bible? What's it for? We can all come up with different answers. We may not even be in agreement in our rows, never mind this whole room here today, because the Bible is hard to read. The Bible is hard to understand, so hard that even in Nehemiah's time, they had to stop every now and then and explain it. The Bible is hard to apply to our lives. And with the Bible, we want answers. We like black and white answers. That's the easiest thing to follow. But the Bible doesn't give us that. We want clear teaching. The Bible doesn't always give us that. We want direction, showing us this narrow, easier way. But we often end up with something a bit different. We often end up with a narrow reading of the Bible. That's our own way that we're reading into the Bible. And this way that we, as people and as Christians throughout history, when we read the Bible, we often read it in such a way that benefits us and benefits people like us. It's very easy to read ourselves into being the heroes of the story. And those people that we don't like, well, we can find some pretty quick ways of looking at the Bible so that it condemns them. So that the Bible condemns people that are different than us. And we see too often that the Bible is weaponized. It's used as violence, as a tool of violence against other people. And you know what? The Bible was used against Jesus too. And the Bible still is used against Jesus. We start to use the Bible in such a way to disagree with Jesus. You know, you can have if you can look to the Bible and have it say almost anything you want if you squint and only read a couple passages. But our hope is that we have one who is greater than the written words. We have one who is greater than Scripture, and that is Jesus. We look through Scripture, it actually tells us about this. In John chapter 5, it says, this is Jesus speaking, "You study Scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very Scriptures that testify about me." See, the Bible points us to follow Jesus. In Luke 24, Jesus says, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." And then who is it that opens the minds of the disciples? And then Jesus opens their minds so they could understand the Scriptures. We see that it is Jesus. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that he sends out to us that can help us as a community understand this difficult, large collection of books. In Romans 15, Paul writes that for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. That's what the Bible's for, to give us hope, to inspire us to hope. And this is what Nehemiah is hoping for. This is what Nehemiah is trying to do. All through the Old Testament, we see this story developing. And in Jeremiah, we see even though people are being sent into exile, there's this hope in the future that they will be redeemed and restored. That's what Nehemiah is hoping to try and do. He's here to try and rebuild a community. How? By going back to the Bible. Through communal confession. Through this worship, this celebration that forms them through knowing God. Knowing who we are. And this leads these people, from a starting point at least, to repentance. So what will that mean for us today? Well, what is the Bible? We'll start with a couple things the Bible is not. The Bible is not God. The Bible is not easily translated into English. It's not a user's manual. It's not a list of instructions. It's not going to always be easy to understand. It's not a science or a history textbook. It's not stories about heroic examples to follow. In fact, you can almost bet that if someone isn't named Jesus and you find them in the Bible, that they are an incredibly flawed, sinful human. And the Bible's not a story with us as the main characters. But when we look to the Bible, when we look to scriptures, they actually tell us what they are and what they're useful for. In 2 Timothy, it says, "The holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ." Wise for salvation. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So what's the purpose of the Bible? Well, I think sometimes we get confused. Sometimes we hear about people saying things like, well, we should just follow the Bible. But that's actually not what the Bible says. When you only follow the Bible, what we can find ourselves doing is we start using Scripture in a way that can block us and hide us from Jesus. In fact, we can start to use Scriptures to disagree with the clear commands of Christ. When we just follow the Bible, we can find that having the Bible in our heart, having Scriptures in our heart, doesn't change the hatred that flows out of us. We can have a mouth full of scripture and a heart full of hatred when we're following the Bible. But the Bible points us to following Jesus. When we read the Bible well, through the power of the Holy Spirit as a community, it leads us to follow Jesus. And as we follow Jesus, we start to be changed from the inside out. And in that way, reading scripture can help to form our hearts in the way of Jesus, so that we can love like Jesus loves. So let's read the Bible together. It's not just one person and their Bible. It's a community prayerfully coming together, learning together. That's what we do at our Bible study time earlier in the morning for the adults. We get together, we read it, we discuss it, and we learn more when it's not just one person talking. But as we read the Bible, let's keep Jesus at the center. See, scriptures aren't this flat book or collection of books where everything is equal. Scriptures find their purpose in Jesus. Jesus is the one who goes and helps us understand all the rest. Scripture can help us to follow Jesus. But we have to keep Jesus at the center. And I think what's most curious to me about the Bible is that it can often act like a mirror. And sometimes when I think of mirrors, and maybe this is strange because I don't go shopping as much as we used to in the past, but do you remember you go somewhere and you try on some clothes, and whatever it is in that store's lights and the mirror, you're like, you know, I look really good in this. Have you ever had that experience? But then you take it home, and in our home lighting, suddenly it's not quite as fantastic. See, the Bible works like a mirror in that we can sometimes look into it and see a reflection of ourselves. And when that is done in a more self-centered way, what we start to do is we start to look in the Bible and we see a God who looks a lot like us. We start to mold a Jesus into someone who agrees with all the things we agree with and looks more like us. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, the Bible can work as a mirror in a different way. It can work as a mirror that we can look in and we can start to see who we are in God's eyes, where we fit in this great redemption story of God. We can look in and see who we really are and what it means to go out into love. See, the Bible shows us the way. But the Bible is not the way. Let's look through that 2 Timothy passage one more time. I'm just going to read it slowly. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, in God's justice, so that the servants of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. See, studying the Bible can change us. It can be good for us. It can help shape our souls when we focus on Jesus, when we submit to the ways of the Holy Spirit. But the question is, how will we know that we're being changed rightly? Well, how we love our neighbors, how we love our enemies, will tell the truth about what's in our hearts. As Jesus enters our hearts, as the Holy Spirit's fire fills us with that joy, that hope, that great passage in Galatians that goes through the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. When that starts forming our hearts, then the way we love others will be obvious. The way we love others will be experienced as love by our neighbors. You'll find people will want to be with you more and spend time with you more because you're loving, because you're so kind, in the same way that people loved being with Jesus, in the same way that the little children ran to Jesus because they knew in his arms they were safe, they were loved, they were seen. So friends, let's go back to the Bible. Let's hold on tightly to the love and the promise of Jesus. And let's let that shape us in how we love our neighbors. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are good. Thank you for the great gift of your scriptures. The great gift of so many fantastic stories and poems and thoughts and questions. We pray, Lord, that we would be able to approach your words in the Bible with humility. But, Lord, that we would be able to see you in those pages. That we would be able to see who we are in your eyes. And that we'd be able to see who our neighbors are as those to be loved. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I invite you to stand as we sing our closing song, Blessed Be Your Name.
Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on you.
Receive the blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May God guide you in His light. May you be light in the darkness so that others may feel the love of Jesus. Go in God's peace. Amen.